Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my sweet love. It is so beautiful to be back here with you today for another episode of The Liberated Life. I'm encouraging you to just do a big exhale if you can, big sigh, just dropping into your body for a moment if you can and it's safe to. It feels really beautiful to be talking about this topic today because it is something that I think if I fully understood 10 years ago, I would have saved myself a lot of time. And having had a conversation with Thomas this morning, kind of on this subject, I thought, okay, it's time to share this with the pod crew because it's so important and it's so game changing. And we're going to be exploring the idea of the parts of us and how that relates to relational stuff and decision making and fear and all the other stuff. So I'm going to start with a little story, and this came up for a wonderful client of mine when we were on retreat in May in Spain. And we started talking about this idea that rather than being just one personality, which I think a lot of us believe ourselves to be, like, I am just this one thing, I am Lucy, therefore I am, like, I define myself through all of these different pieces of identity, rather than seeing it that way, to start to see ourselves as an amalgamation of lots of different parts. So lots of different parts that actually potentially have different viewpoints and different ideas about things. And we were talking about this, and this wonderful client of mine turned around and she was like, oh my God, like, everyone else has this too? She was like, I thought I was just crazy. Like, I thought there was something wrong with me. They had these different voices in my head that were saying different things. And I was like, oh my Lord, we need to talk about this so much, because God, do we pathologize it. Like, I think that there can be this idea often that it's like, oh God, I have different voices in my head that want different things. Like, maybe I've gone crazy. You haven't gone crazy. This is part and parcel of the human brain, the idea that we are an amalgamation of lots of different parts, lots of different sub-personalities. And often those sub-personalities can want different things, which make life quite complicated, because when we're trying to make a decision, when we're trying to move forward with something, we can have one part of us that's saying, like, go this way, another part of us being like, go to bed, another part of us being like, run away to the circus, which can make life really confusing. And the kind of visual that I like to give with this, which I think at times can be helpful, is that you are in the middle of a room, like a really, really beautiful room, circular room with lots of different doors around it. And this room has got like beautiful dappled light coming through it. There's those like magical shadows on the floor and like maybe little shadows of leaves and the like dappled light coming through the leaves on the floor. And you're standing in the center and you are the powerful being in the center of this room, and you're standing and you're grounded and you're still. And around this room, there are all of these different doors. And as you walk towards each of these different doors, you can open the door and you find yourself in the room of one of your sub-personalities. So like one part of you that like really wants to run away to the circus, and then you shut the door, and then you go into another part of you and it's like, oh, it's a part of me that like really wants to like get married and have babies, and then you shut the door, and then you open another door and it's like, oh, it's a part of me that's like super professionally successful and wants to go and like take over the world, you know. And then you come back to the center of this room and you are the wise one in the middle that gets to choose the different parts that you play with. And the reason I wanted to talk about parts of the psyche and sub-personalities is because it is so important to start to bring some awareness initially to the different parts of us that exist. Oftentimes when we're in a space where we're feeling a bit off in life, like something feels wrong, we don't know what it is, the crux of the offness in my experience is that we are giving all of our attention to one part of us and we are not hearing the others. So say you are pretty successful in your career, you're like running around boss babying, doing all of that stuff. You're giving a lot of your attention to the part of you that is professionally successful, that identity, that sub-personality. But perhaps there isn't very much space in your life for the version of you that wants to have fun and play, or the version of you that like wants to seduce someone, or the version of you that is afraid. And those parts of you want a seat at the table, but you are spending all of your time focusing on the boss babe version of you and not making space for those other voices. And what happens when we don't make space for a personality or a person? They start to get annoyed. Everyone wants to be heard, seen, respected. And that also applies to the different parts of our psyche. So, big exhale, breathe that in. Oftentimes, that sense of something being off can be that there is a part of us that we are not hearing. And can we start to make space for that part of us? So, I want to go into this in a little bit more detail, specifically around how it applies to relational stuff. So in my experience of being someone that has struggled with attachment stuff, so finding myself feeling like very, very anxious when I'm not getting responses on text messages, then getting very avoidant when someone wants to be close to me, and not being able to necessarily manage that in my 20s, this work has completely changed the game. And the reason that it's changed the game is because it has allowed me to start to bring curiosity to these parts of me, rather than just thinking, I am just this anxious person that gets stressed about not getting a text. It's like, oh, wow, there's a part of me right now that's feeling really anxious. Or there's a part of me that's really wanting to run away. And rather than assuming that that part of me is me, I start to get curious about it. And as we get curious about these different parts of us, what we often find is that they are frozen in the past. They are a part of us that has been born through an experience that we've had in our life, and it is a part of us that has very specific objectives. So perhaps it's a part of you that's like desperately wanting freedom because it felt like it didn't have very much freedom when it was growing up. Perhaps it's a part of you that's desperately wanting safety because you didn't feel safe growing up. Perhaps there's a part of you that's trying to protect you. Perhaps there's a part of you that's really afraid of being like lost in a relationship and losing herself and is trying to stop you from getting into a relationship because it feels like she'd lose herself if you did. Perhaps there's a part of you that's really afraid of being abandoned, so wants to cling. All of those things can be true. And this is where it becomes so important in this work to start to bring curiosity to what shows up in our minds and bodies, especially in relational dynamics. So if, for example, you are the kind of person who gets really, really anxious when you're dating, and you're in the like two blue ticks, no reply, freaking out spiral, rather than just accepting that you're like, I'm just getting anxious, this is just how I am, can we start to get curious about what that is actually about? And often what we'll find when we get curious about it and when we inquire and sit with like, what is this anxious part of me trying to say? Like, what is it afraid of? Bearing in mind, I've known this person for 2 weeks. Why is it so afraid? And often what we will find when we inquire is that that part of us is a little girl. She's a little girl that's really, really afraid and feels that she is about to be abandoned and that this somehow is a reminiscent experience from the past. And she has been triggered into action because this experience that you're in right now is somehow reminiscent from the past. When we can recognize that we are being triggered into a past version of us, it becomes much easier to then recognize, like, this is not about the guy. It is not about the guy. It is about your relationship to the little girl inside of you and the fact that you probably don't have that much of a relationship with her right now and that she is feeling lonely. That is the first piece. Second one, if you get the ick a lot, if you want to run away from anyone that is safe, if the idea of being in a healthy relationship makes you feel uncomfortable, even though you say consciously that you want it, this one is for you. So you can tell if this is you by just asking yourself, like, just visualize for a second, like, really healthy, loving partner who's really devoted to you, really shows up. What happens in your body? Do you get contraction? If you get contraction, there's a part of you that's resisting it. And that part, in my experience, if we inquire into the part of us that is like, ooh, don't want that, what we often find, and it's important to do this work for ourselves, don't take my reflections as gospel here, but what we can often find is that there is a part of us that is really afraid of what being committed to someone means. Again, perhaps in the past we had experiences of being in a relationship and it meaning that we completely lost ourselves, that we abandoned ourselves, that somehow being in relationship meant huge amounts of responsibility and we don't want that responsibility. And if we inquire into that, we can recognize that that part of us is also going off data that is out of date. It's old stuff. It's childhood stuff. Perhaps it's even teenage stuff, but it is not responding to your current experience. It's responding to your experiences from the past. And that piece for me has been so important in my own journey with this, because recognizing that the part of me that wants to abort mission, the part of me that wants to run away, recognizing that actually it's a part of me that's really afraid that I will lose freedom, that somehow I will lose myself in the dynamic. Recognizing that is so unbelievably game-changing, because it allows me to look at the present circumstances that I am in with consciousness. It allows me to go, okay, is it reality right now that I am currently losing myself in this relationship? And to be really objective about that, like, are there actually areas of this relationship where perhaps I am losing myself? And if I am, how can I pull back into myself and recognize what it is that I need and make sure I'm getting my needs met? Or is this just a story in my head that I am replaying from the past and assuming that this current situation is exactly the same as what happened in the past, because that's how the mind works? And to start to get really, really honest, this process of inquiring into the parts of us that show up completely changes the game, because it stops us from assuming that everything that is going on in our mind is gospel and that we need to listen to it and that our mind is telling the truth. And it allows us to go, interesting, like, really interesting. Like, I'm noticing there's a part of me in my mind right now that's feeling really afraid and wants to, like, be super close. And I don't really know this person that much, so why would I want to be super close to someone that I don't really know that much? Like, what is that about? And to inquire into that so that you can meet the needs of that part of you rather than allowing that part of you to be out in the world trying to fend for herself. I often use this analogy, like, when I'm working with clients that have this pattern. Like, if we allow the anxious part of us to be like, oh my God, they have to reply. What we're really doing is shipping our six-year-old girl out into Hinge land and allowing a six-year-old girl to be, like, battered over the head by online dating. Who would do that? Like, that is not her job. It's not her job. Her job is to maybe, like, help you connect with play or to be this, like, soft and gentle, whatever she was like. That is not her job. And currently, unless we inquire into these different parts of us, what we tend to do is we allow a little girl to run our adult life. Not cool. Same on the flip side of the avoidant type that wants to run away. If we are terrified of being in relationship because we think it means we'll lose ourselves or it's over responsibility or whatever, if we listen to that part of us, just like we trust that it's gospel, one, we will run away from any kind of committed relationship, like you will. That's just the way that it is. Unless you end up finding a partner who is also deeply avoidant and doesn't trigger this wound in you. In which case, another part of you probably won't get her needs met and you'll be triggered the other way. But if you follow always the part of you that wants to run away without inquiring, you will end up in the same loop over and over and over again. Do you hear that? This is the problem for avoidance, is that it is so easy to just follow that voice because we think that it is true. We think there's something wrong with them. We think that we suddenly feel really overwhelmed and we're like, I can't deal with this. It's too much. We think that somehow someone else will be better. This is not me saying that you should just like carry on with anyone, even if there's like no potential and you're not in any way aligned. But it is me saying we have to start to get curious about the different parts of us, because not all of them are telling the truth. They all have wisdom. They all have wisdom. But remember, you are the one in the center of the room and you get to choose. You get to go into the room of the anxious one and be like, I see you, my sweet love. I see that you're already anxious. Let me hold you. Let me let you know that you're okay. Let me let you cry if you need to cry, and I'll hold you. But I'm not going to let you go out onto Hinge because that's not your job, because you're a 6-year-old. It means that you can go into the room with a part of you that wants to run away and be like, wow, you're feeling really afraid right now and you want to run away. What do you need? Like, do you need some space for yourself? Like, it's okay to need space. That's okay. Let's communicate that to the person we're in relationship with and take some space and then come back into connection. Because you're allowing the adult in you to decide. You're allowing the conscious part of you to decide rather than letting these sub-personalities dictate your life. It is so important to do this work. Parts work is completely game-changing for relational wounding because it allows us to understand what is really going on under the surface, and therefore allows us to choose with consciousness how we want to behave moving forward. It allows us to bring all of these wounded parts of us that are acting out and wanting different things and super confusing and all over the place. It allows us to bring them into the center of our heart, to give them a place to sit and be held, so that our adult, conscious, loving, open mind can direct our life, rather than a part of us that was created in the past that doesn't know that it's 2025, doesn't know that you're an adult, that thinks you're still most likely a 7-year-old girl. So I will leave it there for now, my sweet one. I really hope that this episode was supportive for you. If you have any questions, please give me a shout. This is so much of the work that I do in my one-on-one container. This work requires one-on-one holding because of its depth and its power, and it is a huge part of the work that I do with my one-on-one clients. So if you are intrigued, if you're feeling like, oof, this is resonating and I really need to do this, give me a shout and I will share some more information with you. There is never any pressure or any like coercion or any of the weird stuff that sometimes happens in this strange industry. I would just be here to have an open, loving conversation with you and to see if it is the right path for you. Sending you so much love. Have a beautiful rest of your day, and I will speak with you soon.